So we're going to be talking about bread for the next couple of weeks. Jesus is emphasizing in this passage that he is the bread of life, hopefully a phrase that most of us will be familiar with. And it's also the, because this reading is actually from John, and it's the first I am saying that comes out of Jesus's mouth in the Gospel of John. And, you know, we can take as much meaning as we want from it being the first, but it is, you know, one of the most powerful statements Jesus makes about himself. And one of my presiding memories as a child is going to Asda down the road in OB with my mum and entering in and just being hit by that piped-in smell of bread baking. I don't know whether they pipe it directly from the bakery at the back or whether it was in some way artificial, but I just always remember going to Asda, and as soon as I walked in, I was just, I just want bread. I've never wanted bread more in my life than right now, smelling this strong aroma of bread. And obviously, as I walked around the rest of the aisles, my desire was turned to different things. You know, we'd go into the vegetable aisle or fruit aisle, and I would, you know, want something from there, or especially as a child, and the impulse responses are, I want that, I want that, I want that. But actually, when I first walked in, that smell being pumped in every time would 100% make me just hunger after freshly baked bread. And these are obviously not freshly baked. These are some burger buns that we enjoyed last night as a family. But Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life. And I wanted to, I don't know if anybody was present when I preached for the first time in this benefice over at Burton Overy, but one of the things that I have been sort of trying to incorporate into my preaching is a sense of creating short, accessible parables in order to bring across what I feel like God is saying from these passages to say today, and also sometimes trying to intertwine the Old and New Testament together. Now, of course, in the Old Testament passage today, we actually have a parable within the Bible reading, which is amazing. And actually, if you look in the Old Testament, there aren't that many parables, but yet the principle is already being shared there by Nathan within, obviously, a strong rebuke of the king. So here's a short parable that I feel intertwines these two things together, and then I want to just quickly draw out one or two things from that. So there was a small town that was run by a very selfish man. He loved to have a whole plethora of different things in his life. He loved to try all the different foods. He liked to try all the different hobbies. And in order to do that, he needed to have his coffers full of money. And most people in the town went without and went with very little in order for him to have this wonderful smorgasbord of experiences on a regular basis. Now, of course, eventually the king found out that this selfish man was doing all of this and that the people were going without in order for this man to have the high life. And so he got on his horse and he took his entourage with him, and he gave his son a very specific task around this situation, and they travelled to the small town. And the royal entourage arrived, and obviously everybody was very curious as to what was going on, and everybody gathered in the town square, and the selfish man was called into the town square, and the king, in front of everybody, rebuked this man and said, "You have been selfish, you've been greedy, and the people in this town have gone without in order for you to have everything that you want. This is my punishment to you. You have 3 days to walk to my palace, and you must carry this feather pillow. And as you walk for 3 days, I want you to periodically take out some feathers and throw them onto the ground. And the only thing that you are allowed to have to sustain you throughout this trip for 3 days is one freshly baked loaf of bread. And if you are able to do this, then you will avoid severe punishment from me." So the man took the feather pillow, the royal entourage left to go back to the palace on their horses, and he got himself a freshly baked bread from the bakers, and he set out on this journey. And as he was passing through the city gates, and there were travellers coming back and forth, there was a young man who looked weary and looked thin, and he came up to the selfish man and he said, "Sir, I've been walking for a while and I'm hungry. Do you have any bread that you can spare me?" And the selfish man thought to himself, "I've only got this one loaf of bread to last me for 3 days." But there was another part of him that reminded him that this whole situation had been caused by his selfishness. And if he couldn't start to change his ways now, whenever could he? And so he tore off a hunk of bread and gave it to the young man. And he carried on. And the young man called back and he said, "Is there anything I can do for you to help you, to serve you for this kindness?" And for the first time in the selfish man's life, he turned around and he said, "No, it's a free gift to you. There's nothing that I need in return." So the man walked for 3 days, and obviously, as we can imagine, the loaf of bread did not last him a very long time. And he did what the king asked him to. He opened up the feather pillow, and he would slowly take out feathers and leave them along the pathway. And eventually, he arrived at the palace. He was weak, he was hungry, and his pillow was empty. Inside the throne room, he approached the king and he said, "My king, I've done what you asked. I only ate bread for 3 days and walked here, and my pillow is empty." And the king said, "Very good. I only have one more instruction for you in order for you to avoid severe punishment. And that is that I now want you to go back and collect every feather that you dropped from the pillow." And the slightly less selfish man dropped to his knees and wept, because he knew that the task was impossible. But at that moment, the doors opened, and in came the young traveller that the selfish man had given bread to. And the man walked up, and in his hands he held a sack. And he came up to the throne. And the king said, my son, you're back from your travels. What do you have with you?" And the prince says, "I have followed this man for 3 days, and I have picked up every feather that this man has dropped. Because I know that you are a severe king, but I also know that you will have mercy on someone if the task is done, whether by him or someone else." And the king beamed proudly at his son, and he pardoned the selfish man. And the selfish man went back to his town and ruled in a very different way. So in these passages today, we have Jesus reminding the people of Israel that they have had a provision given to them in the past, in the manna that was given to them in the desert. And he's reminding them that even then, even with that gift of manna in the desert, they still got fed up with the simple gift of bread that was poured down to them from heaven every day. There was just a simple gift. And Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life," the simplest staple food that the people probably could have imagined, something they ate every day, and something that is accessible to all of us, thankfully, in different ways. Obviously, where there is severe poverty, etc., people are craving just that bread. And when I fasted in the past, I remember doing a 3-day fast at one point, and we had to go as a family to Birmingham to have some photos taken of our children. And I remember going into this lovely coffee shop and they made their own bread. And this was the 3rd day of the fast. And I remember looking at the bread in the display cabinets and just thinking, honestly, the only thing I want right now is that bread. But for most of us, you know, we don't think of bread as just the thing to eat, do we? We think of it as the accompaniment. You know, I didn't just describe that as bread, I described it as a burger bun. Had a specific thing that goes with it. And I think so much of the time we can overcomplicate or try to add a lot of things to what Jesus is telling us or asking us to do. And actually he says, both here and in after the encounter with the Samaritan woman, you know, "My food is to do the will of the Father." And when we look at Jesus' life, there is a simplicity to it. He was a profoundly complex person because of being the Son of God and also being a human being. But he also had a simplicity to the way he acted, because he just acted on what the Father was telling him to do. And in the pandemic, possibly the most read book of the whole pandemic for Christians was a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And the entire book, in essence, is about simplifying one's life down, getting rid of distractions, and just coming back to the bare basics of what it is to be a Christian and to be a follower of Jesus. And so when we think of something as simple as bread, do we think of reading the Bible and prayer as these simple staple things that we have in our life every day? I know that sometimes I try to overcomplicate things. Yeah, if I've got my Bible, do I need to have a commentary with me? Do I need to have some meditative or taze or worship music on in the background? Do I need to write lots of notes down? Or is there a simplicity that can come with the practices that have been handed down to us, whether it's reading the Bible, meditating on it, going for a walk and praying that way? So there is a simplicity to what Jesus is asking. And there's, of course, a rebuke that comes with all of this as well. The rebuke that Nathan gives, and Jesus is also gently rebuking the people as well in terms of helping them to see their own selfishness and their own greed and their own wanting to see a sign and a miracle and wanting to have their bellies full. And he's going, no, it's me. Look at me. And then the rebuke for David, of course, is that there are massive ripple effect consequences on what he's done. And as we look further on in the story of David, we see other ways that he goes against God's will and the consequences that come with that. But even in this moment, Nathan is saying the ripple effect of what you've done is actually going to go down the generations. And when we read the book of Kings, we see the ripple effects of this one single sin. And it is like taking a feather pillow and breaking it open. We can never gather them all back up. The reason that I know this kind of particular analogy is because I remember quite a few years ago there was a particular church leader who he himself had an affair, and someone described in their church, because he was leading the second largest Anglican church in the country at the time, and people said the ripple effects from this are just astounding. You know, people are crying in their own homes because of what this person has done, and it is like taking a feather pillow and tearing it open and seeing them just blow off in the wind. But obviously, the only person really in a position to rebuke King David is Nathan. And do we have those people in our lives who can provide that gentle or sometimes strong rebuke? I'll admit that marriage is somewhat of a gift in that place. You know, I've spent almost 11 years now of marriage, and probably the person who's guided and rebuked me most has been my wife, because we have that kind of healthy relationship. But I also have had other friends and mentors who sometimes will go, David, you did that, or you said that, or I just see this particular pattern happening at the moment. Can we just talk about that? I don't think that's necessarily healthy. And of course, the Holy Spirit himself, you know, when it says the Lord is my shepherd, it's not just about him being our shepherd communally, but it's also about him guiding us as his sheep and as his children and being open to that rebuke and open to that correction. But of course, the Old Testament passage finishes in grace, despite the ripple effects, despite the consequences, despite the strong rebuke needed to the king. There's this the beautiful line that Nathan says, the Lord has taken away your sin, you are not going to die. So in that moment, David receives grace. He has to unfortunately see the ripple effects of his sin, but in that moment God pours grace in. And I love the fact that in our first hymn today we've got repeated on a couple of occasions, you know, oh may we all one bread, one body be through this blessed sacrament of unity. Oh may we all one bread, one body be through this blessed sacrament of unity. And so, you know, we're going to have communion soon. And when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, hopefully we're reminded of that as we have the sacrament. And there is a physical provision. There is a spiritual provision, and there is a spiritual salvation that comes from Jesus not only being the bread of life, but also being broken for us, so that we ourselves can say, the Lord has taken away our sin, and we're not going to die eternally. Amen.